All right, so here's a little set I put together a while ago when DS106 Radio just got together. The Warriors, a mix, and inspired by Jason, I'm going to play it tonight and work on a post. So this will be the background music for a post I'm writing, and I did it a while ago. I hope you enjoy it. Get ready.
Anyhow, I must have looked at somebody the wrong way, because the next thing I knew, I was running for my life. And that's when the judge came at me.
Homer, of course you'll have a bad impression of New York if you only focus on the pimps and the chuds.
All you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action, I've been asked to relay a request from the Gramercy Riffs. It's a special for the Warriors. That's that real live bunch from Coney, and I do mean the Warriors. Here's a hit with them in mind.
It's not love.
Let's get down to it, boppers. We're gonna have to do better out there. Our friends just made it past one of the minor league teams. Remember, boppers, be looking good. News off the street, boppers. The baseball furies dropped the ball, made an error. Our friends are on second base and trying to make it all the way home. But the inside word is that the odds are against them. Stay tuned, boppers. Stay tuned. Good news, boppers. The big alert has been called off. It turns out that the early reports were wrong. All wrong. Now, for that group out there that had such a hard time getting home, sorry about that. I guess the only thing we can do is play you a song.
Out there.
hear me, babies? Good. Real good. Adios.
I say the future is ours. If you can count,
come on, Cyrus, we're with you. Go ahead, bro.
Now look what we have here before us. We've got the Saracens sitting next to the Jones Street boy. We've got the Moon Runners right by the Van Cortlandt Rangers. Nobody is wasting nobody. That is a miracle. And miracles is the way things ought to be. You're standing right now with 9 delegates from 100 gangs. And there's over 100 more. That's 20,000 hardcore members. 40,000 counting affiliates. And 20,000 more not organized, but ready to fight. 60,000 soldiers. Now, there ain't but 20,000 police in the whole town. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Now, here's the sum total. One gang could run this city. One gang. Nothing would move without us allowing it to happen. You could tax the crime syndicates, the police, because we got the streets, suckers. Can you dig it? The problem in the past has been the man turning us against one another. We have been unable to see the truth because we have been fighting for 10 square feet of ground. Our turf. Our little piece of turf. That's crap, brothers. The turf is ours by right because it's our turn. All we have to do is keep up the general truce. We take over one borough at a time. Secure our territory. Secure our turf. Because it's all our turf.
I can't get enough of that. Anyway, that was homage to Jason Toll, whose Can You Dig It set last night was really impressive. I'm actually writing about it right now. And writing about things that made me think of an idea for my own fandom assignment for the Northern Voice presentation. Although, I don't know how much say I'll have in that. I don't necessarily want this to run that, but it's just an idea for it anyway. One idea. For me, the whole, I mean, when Graham Potter, and I'm imagining Graham Potter put that up, I'm pretty sure he did, the whole Can You Dig It? I mean, it's amazing. The Warriors, favorite film. But that whole scene, for me, is like a perfect scene for an alternative vision of the world that we live in. And Frederick Jameson, famous theorist, wrote about that film very much in passing. He actually, I think he had referred to it in a footnote. And I think he had suggested that he was going to come back and write about that and a whole other New York City group of New York City films. And I actually spent part of my grad school career writing to that footnote because I found it such a fascinating footnote. So I wrote a number of papers around that footnote about New York City film in the 80s and 90s. But anyway, the footnote basically said is that at that moment with Cyrus and Ford Apache of the Bronx and some other films, what you start to see emerge is this kind of discourse of, you know, civil war within the major cities in the U.S. And, you know, this spoke to his whole idea of class consciousness, the unequal distribution of wealth, and how that unequal distribution of wealth is backed up by power and the questions of capital and all this stuff that he would do as a Marxist, obviously. But one of the things that's really interesting is that he marked that moment with Cyrus and the speech and, you know, how much his kind of rhetoric really does parallel that of Martin Luther King's and this idea of coming together. But it's also very, very revolutionary, right? You know, 60,000 strong, it's going to be a truce between all of us. Miracles can happen. We will take back the streets because the idea of property and turf has been completely misinterpreted. You know, like, we're fighting for the turf when in fact all the turf is already ours, which is a very communist concept, right? Like, this whole idea of private property in our own little spaces was getting us into this issue. So it's great because Cyrus's speech really starts a moment, and it seems, you know, kind of like, okay, this has to happen for the dude Luther in the Rogues to actually shoot him, and then the narrative to really start, right? Which is the run back from Van Cortlandt Park, all the way up in the Bronx, back to Coney Island, which in Brooklyn. And if you know anything about the five boroughs, that really is, you know, a distance. I mean, it's a significant trip, especially when every gang in New York City is looking for you. But what's great is that moment, you know, Cyrus gets shot, everything goes to pot, the whole leadership idea, right? The leader's shot, everything's gone. My idea here is, well, not my idea, I'm sure other people have had it, but anyway, the whole thought is here is, you know, fan fiction, I don't want to see another remake of The Warriors. You know, too many hack directors and Hollywood's complete paucity of ideas has led us to just remaking the film that they've done. And they're going to go on a remake binge, and I'm sure The Warriors, if it's not already going to be remade, I haven't looked it up, it probably is in the process of being remade like everything else. But either way, if it were to be remade, I would want to see it be remade and show the actual truce take place. Cyrus live, or even if he gets shot, the rest of the gangs come together as some sort of collective and actually focus on a civil war within New York City between the gangs and the power structure, particularly if you can frame it like Mayor Bloomberg and the rich kind of worst of New York City that's emerged in the last 20 years or 15 years, you know, versus the disenfranchised gangs. And, you know, you could really have an allegory there, you know, rather than just turning into the lone gunman and, you know, the gang trying to get back. And, you know, that's been done, and you're not going to do it as well as Walter Hill did. So go somewhere else altogether and frame out, like, take the original and say, here's a possibility that's, you know, really lurking within this film to imagine, to play with. And I just wonder, I mean, I don't know, you know, if it is going to be remade, I'm sure it is. Let me look it up. Hold on. I'm going to go on Wikipedia. I'm going to go to The Warriors. I'm going to just type into Google, The Warriors Remake. Let's see what we have. Remake. New movie, yeah. Here it is. August 31st, 2010. Fucking kidding me. This page has been chronicling any information about the upcoming remake of The Warriors. Terrace Winter, a writer and executive producer of The Sopranos, has been drafted in to write the remake. Yeah, so they're doing it. Or trying to, at least. Scott's version will follow the outline of the first film, of course, which a gang leader is assassinated during a truce, and the Warriors wrongly accused of the assassination must make their way home. Scott will also be updating the heightened reality of the original film for contemporary audience. Like, what? What does that mean? Gonna make it more real? That's so stupid. David Gale is producing with Scott an MTV film, so you know it's gonna suck. Van Toffler is executive producer. Winter was Emmy nominated for The Sopranos. Man. Scott's chosen L.A. Great. Chosen L.A. For the setting of the film. That worked really well for Escape from L.A. That was a really important move. Good job. Because it's a horizontal city rather than a vertical one, which makes no sense. Scott is hoping for 100,000 gang members to be in the film and has been out and about promoting the film to real gangs in the city. This has included the Crips, the Bloods, the 18th Street Gang, and the Vietnamese, all of whom have been enthusiastic, great, about the movie as they were fans of the original. So, Tony Scott's interview. Okay, so it is going to be remade. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I'll probably feel it out. I really dislike movies that are remade, you know, with these kind of cosmetic changes, but don't really intervene in the narrative in any significant way. They just try to reproduce something that has already captured the heart and soul of what it was trying to do. So, you know, anyway, it is going to be remade, or is at least trying to be remade. Whether it will be remade is another question. Anyway, so Jason Toll, when I heard this, Can You Dig It? And, you know, the first, you know, I should probably play that right now, shouldn't I? Yeah, let me download it and play a little bit from Jason. I mean, I shouldn't really play his stuff, but I'm talking about it, so why the hell not? I mean, it's a tribute to him. And no one else is on the radio, so I can just kind of do whatever the hell I want, which is nice. Let me see if I can download this thing. Yeah, awesome. SoundCloud for the win. Pretty big file, but I have a very fast connection, so it shouldn't be that long. We'll see. Anyway, so Jason Toll's, which I'm going to play a little bit from, not the whole thing, but I'll play a little bit from shortly. His mix is kind of a, you know, Saturday night party dance disco mix, which is perfect for the Warriors. You know, and I played a couple of songs just from that album. And, you know, it's mostly disco, interestingly enough. And one of the things that's fascinating to me is Toll nails in the first, or Dragon, nails in that first 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes, how, at least for me, the rhythm and beat of Cyrus and what he's saying is hypnotic as an idea and as an alternative for us and for a community, maybe not DS106 Radio, although probably the coolest community I've ever been a part of. But how that is this kind of, you know, we can think of just about everything in ed tech and in the space we're working with. Ed tech is just one example of to society in general of, you know, the lone gunman and, you know, any kind of sense of hope is always ruined by this shot, whether it be copyright, whether it be, you know, fear, whether it be security, whatever it be. Like, you know, that always dampens any sense of enthusiasm and possibility. You know, and DS106 Radio has flown in the face of a lot of that, and it hasn't grown. And I was expecting more possible negatives to come out of this whole thing. But in fact, it seems like, you know, the rogue never did shoot Cyrus. You know, we never did have that. And for me, it's still an unbelievable place of possibility. You know, and I'm wondering, like, rethink that narrative. Like, that's the narrative I would rewrite. And it's just great that Grant put that in as the intro, because the narrative itself, the movie itself, to me, is so feckin' with possibilities for the alternative narrative of DS106 Radio to play out and not be the conventional narrative that we're so used to. Right? Maybe the Warriors win in the end, but not after so much undue and unnecessary suffering. And even if they get there safe, nothing about New York City or the situation of the gangs changes. That's all gone. That's all out of mind. Like, the whole radical proposal that Cyrus was putting to them and to everyone else is just, you know, at that point, by that time of the movie, it's no longer even a concern. You know, it's just not a possibility. And I found that a little depressing, you know, in some ways, about the film. You know, because for me, there were two great things about that film. There were Cyrus's speech and that whole moment. And there was the gangs, like the actual gangs and meeting them and seeing them. And, you know, that's kind of, I guess, when I was younger, which really compelled me. But that film still remains one of the greats and formative of my life. But the more and more I think of it, and I even played the video game, and the video game really does no justice, I think, well, it does, actually. The video game's interesting. That's probably something for another day. But really, this idea of Cyrus has, for me, become the dominant vision, and I've seen mashups on YouTube that make Cyrus, the character of Cyrus and Obama, they kind of mash the two up, and, you know, Obama is no Cyrus, say what you will, he may be black, but he's not Cyrus, and I always found that interesting. I mean, I was kind of really fascinated by that idea of, you know, and I think I really have no faith in the Democrats and liberals as a group, so I'm not overly surprised that that never worked out, but that for me was part of the appeal of, you know, the new groovy possibilities, this, that, and the other thing. Now, how'd it go? Well, how does it usually go? Not so well, right? But and I'm not too surprised it didn't go too well, but anyway, what do we have? We have Arne Duncan, we have a copyright czar who's, you know, worse than what we had before. I mean, what the hell? It's nothing. It's nonsense. Okay, anyway, though, let's get to the point here. I wanted to talk about Toll's intro, his unbelievable intro that he did last night. And it is. So, let me change gears and it's just enjoyable. I'll play a little bit of the intro from his set that got me thinking and writing this blog post that I'm actually talking through right now because I'm in the process of writing it. And then I'll let this play a little bit and then I'll talk some more. So this is from Jason Toll last night. It's called Can You Dig It? With the C-A, capital C, capital A, can you, one word. C-A, capital N-U, can you dig it? Enjoy it. Sorry I'm playing it, Jason, but it was that good. So Sue me. Later. Ready, go.
You're standing right now with 9 delegates from 100 gangs. And there's over 100 more. That's 20,000 hardcore members. 40,000 counting affiliates. And 20,000 more not organized, but ready to fight. 60,000 soldiers. Now there ain't but 20,000 police in the whole town. Can you dig it? 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 Can you dig it?
light. Don't turn it off. Don't turn it off. You know I like it. Don't turn it off. Don't turn it off. I kinda like it. Don't turn it off. Don't turn it off. You know I like it. You're quite tasty, ain't you, baby? You got my knees like jelly, babe. That kind of feeling that you're giving, taking me, making me.
Yeah, I can dig that totally, Jason. I mean, and what I'm writing as I'm listening to your opus is, in many ways, this. I mean, I'm writing out what I just said. I mean, all this, the alternative, you know, for me, and here's a little bit from it, the ideas of miracles, the man turning us against one another, all things Cyrus says in the speech. Fighting for a little piece of turf and an alternative from the actual reality that takes over that very film. I mean, he's preaching an alternative of what the film turns back into, right? And so much of that has kind of dictated the last 60 years of American political history, you know, execution after execution in the 60s, assassination after assassination. I mean that is the history we've known, and often after that assassination, you know, the status quo isn't only preserved, but it's almost more viciously or rigidly reinforced. It's crazy. So it all got me thinking about a couple of things, and what it is the way in which he starts out with that, can you dig it, which is actually his kind of, the Cyrus's kind of chorus, right? He says all these awesome possibilities and alternatives and turns around and says, can you dig it? And, you know, they don't respond. Well, he builds up to it, obviously, in that very kind of rhetorically beautiful way. And, you know, not only does Jason include part of that narrative of Cyrus and the alternatives, but the entire rest of the set is always framed by a can you dig it. Now, can you dig it is kind of a two things, right? It's kind of a, you know, call out, an affirmation. And can you dig it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Obviously, you know, the gangland goes crazy, right? But at the same time, can you dig it is also the kind of call of, you know, not only do you understand what I'm saying, but can you dig the possibility? Like, can you imagine it? Can you envision it? And, you know, can it be? I mean, it's almost, it's an act not only of kind of affirmation and what I'm saying is right, but it's an act of creation. It's almost like that speech act, making it, performing it, making it happen. Can you dig it? And yes, and it's not a thing that they can dig. It's this collective understanding of the possibilities. It's the fact that the words brought it into light. I mean, it's that amazing thing that is not matched by dialogue. It's matched in many ways by the roar of the crowd, of the mass, in some strange way, which is often vilified. But at that point, there seems to be some unbelievable connection to a series of ideas, into the possibility of putting them into some real action. Just, you know, remarkable. So that can you dig it is this kind of real powerful speech act happening with this performative speech act happening with Cyrus and the warriors. And it's just amazing. And for me, it's crazy serendipity, coincidence, completely calculated on the part of Grant Potter when he put that up as the, and I don't know which, but I want to believe the last, this can you dig it as the beginning to DS-106 Radio, because to me it's that performative speech act that has allowed for such amazing kind of possibilities. And, you know, the possibilities that I kind of really parallel to this idea of the gangs, right? Rethinking property and those boundaries and, you know, the questions around sharing and cutting up our culture and reimagining it and doing stuff like this, intervening in it. You know, like, that's what we're here for. That's what this should be about. And I guess I play a lot of schlock 80s too, but I also think of that as an appropriation in some ways. You know, maybe not as thought out as this, and you can see how thought out this is, right? Not too much, but anyway, I don't know. I mean, and right now we don't have that, right? We don't have the assassination logic. You know, we don't have many people as a part of it. And part of me thinks that that's part of the magic is, you know, you keep it small, you keep it focused, and you keep it as a platform by which you keep thinking and imagining this stuff. It's far more engaging to be doing this amongst a group of people who may be interested. And, you know, also as the platform to experiment with. So anyway, I can't help but see the parallels between the Can You Dig It and Jason's awesome mix last night and the introductory, you know, sound file for DS106 Radio and the magical film and magical scene that is Cyrus's speech. And my fandom assignment in many ways is going to be to rethink or rewrite the script for the Warriors. From that point on, you keep the script exactly the same until the point there's the assassination. And the assassination never happens. And the narrative runs completely counter, right, to kind of what the next 40 minutes of that film sets up for you, or even 50, I think it's about 50, 60 minutes after that scene. I think when we get to that scene, we're about 15 minutes in, 20 minutes in. I'm not sure. I'll have to see. So anyway, like, rewrite the last part of that sentence. I'm talking about that now. Anyway, this has been fun to kind of think out loud and talk about and just pay some homage to Jason Toll, who really kicked some serious ass last night. Well, I'm saying last night, but it wasn't Sunday night. It was Saturday night at about 11 that came on. And it was awesome stuff. So anyway, that's all I got here. I just figured I'd talk about it. The other thing I'm working on, so that was one thing I'm working on, was my Warriors mix. I had done it a while ago, but I figured, why not talk about it? Another thing I want to look at is, and I'll do this now, though I'm not going to be done, because I'm going to start having some time now. But I got a lot of this stuff out. A lot of stuff I had to do. I finally got out. Got done. Yeah, it's all here. Yeah, I got this crazy... I got like a couple of hours... No, how many? Let's see exactly. I went through the thing, and this was early on in DS106 Radio history. I mean, well, that's not too bad. Well, it is. It's a lot. I got 49 minutes of dialogue and sound. Well, 49 minutes of sound from the film of The Thing that I've been trying, and I let it go when I was in New Orleans in February, and I haven't really returned to it because other things just took over. But I'm coming back to this kind of 49 minutes of audio from The Thing, and I'm trying to do the Lisa M. Lane magic of taking that 49 minutes and making it a narrative in 7. And I really want to hats off to her still. I find that one of her most remarkable projects because it's so freaking difficult. And I haven't worked on that in a while, but that's something I'm planning on working on and playing around with because I just think it's so awesome, The Thing. I love it. So let me play a couple of clips from that because I've been going through that, kind of thinking about it. So let's play some random clips from The Thing. If anyone, let me check Twitter. I don't know if anyone needs to stream. I can dig it. Yeah, it was great. Noise Professor. Noise Professor, you want the stream, you let me know. I'm just jerking off here because nobody else is on it. And I just like doing it. So you let me know. Okay. I'm probably going to give it up in a little bit anyway. So let me just play a little clip, a couple of random clips from the thing. And they'll be short, as I think through how I'm going to tell this movie in 7 minutes through audio. And 7 minutes is random, but I like that it's random. Maybe she did nine. I hope she did nine. I'll have to go back and check that. Anyway, back here to some thing clips. Here we go. Okay, go.
Mac, the door's open! How did he get out? The door was bolted from the outside.
You come up with anything yet?
One or two ideas. But MacReady, I've been thinking. If a small particle of this thing is enough to take over an entire organism, then everyone should prepare their own meals. And I suggest we only eat out of cans.
All right.
Close that door.
Where's MacReady?
I cut him loose of the line up by his shack.
Cut him loose?
Yeah. We're up checking around his place. I found this. Look. It was stashed in his own oil furnace. Wind must have dislodged it, but I don't think he saw me find it. I made sure I got ahead of him on the tow line on the way back. I cut him loose.
MacReady?
He's one of them.
When do you think it got to him?
I don't know.
Could have been any time, anywhere, if it did get to him.
Hey, look, Childs, come on.
When the lights went out.
That would have been the perfect time.
Right. You said guys were missing, and Windows, where were you?
In Palm, where I told you to
shut where were you? Oh, when the lights went out!
That's what it was! The players against each other!
Anybody see Fuchs?
Somebody blew out a fuse in the lab. Lights were out in there for an hour. Any one of us could have gotten to him.
All right. We got to find him. Knowles, why don't you come with me and we'll look outside. Palmer, you and Windows check the inside.
I ain't going with Windows. I ain't going with him. I'll go with Childs.
Hey, fuck you, Palmer!
I'm going with you!
Who says I want you going with me?
All right, cut the bullshit!
Windows, you come with us. Norris, you stay here. Any of them move, you fry them. You hear anything at all, you cut loose on the sirens. We all meet back here in 20 minutes, regardless. And everybody watch whoever you're with. Real close.
That was one of those things out there, trying to imitate him, Gary. Come on.
MacReady, I know Bennings. I've known him for 10 years. He's my friend.
We gotta burn the rest of them.
He smashed up some of the chopper pretty good.
Nobody!
Childs, go see if he got to the tractor.
Nobody gets in and out of here. Nobody! You guys think I'm crazy? Well, that's fine. Most of you don't know what's going on around here. Well, I'm damn well. Sure, some of you do.
Christ.
He got most of the chopper and the tractor. And he's killed the rest of the dogs.
Gary, wait a minute. Childs, go around to the map room door. Talk to him. Get a table from the lab.
You think that thing wanted to be an animal? No dogs make it 1,000 miles to the coast. You don't understand. That thing wanted to be us. Joe gets out. If it
validate everything on the face of the earth! And nothing!
Okay, Blair. Come on, man. You don't want to hurt anybody.
I'll kill you!
We're gonna draw a little bit of everybody's blood. We're gonna find out who's the thing. Watching Norris in there gave me the idea that maybe every part of him was a whole. Every little piece was an individual animal with a built-in desire to protect its own life. You see, when a man bleeds, it's just tissue. The blood from one of you things won't obey when it's attacked. It'll try and survive. Crawl away from a hot needle, say.
Generator room.
Let's do it.
Get me out of here. Cut me loose. Cut me the hell. Come on, get me out of here. Come on, get me out of here. Cut me loose, damn it.
I know you gentlemen have been through a lot, and when you find the time, I'd rather not spend the rest of this winter tied to this fucking couch!
Yeah, that's great. I got some good stuff there. I have everything, actually, in audio from the entire soundtrack. I just, at least the speaking bits, I left out some of the music and stuff. And kind of slim them down. So it's down to 49 minutes. But I'm going to give that a couple of goes. Because I really did love that project. And that's something I wouldn't mind to do again during the summer class. So anyway, that's that. Just playing with stuff still. Kind of looking forward to, I mean, I'll be sad when DS-106, the open online and UMW class thing kind of officially ends week 15, which is this week starting. And it will end, and I'll have the grading done by Friday. And the grading is, frankly, you know, me meeting with each student, telling them where I thought they were awesome, what they didn't do, etc. And, you know, people did what they were asked to do, you know, they got an A. You know, if they didn't do his stuff, you know, we'll figure out what. But it's not really, the grades for me are just an afterthought, really. I mean, you're either in it or not. What you're going to get out of it is what you put into it. And I can only grade that to the degree that you either just completely disregarded everything and I just, you know, can't stomach the idea of you. Or I couldn't allow you to move on given the fact that you did nothing. So, anyway, I'll probably blog about that process because I do have some sort of a method. It's not very sound, but it is a method. But yeah, I'm kind of a little bit looking forward to it. I have tons of stuff to do around the house. Tons. My house is falling apart. It's a nightmare. The bees. Fucking bees. And I'm looking forward to getting back and doing some of the stuff I wasn't able to do because I was under 50 feet of water. But anyway, it was awesome. I'm glad it worked out. It was a great semester. And I am glad it's wrapping up. And maybe I can even get Minecraft and do stuff there. And just do stuff I haven't imagined. I always have like this sense of constant in my stomach and in my head. It's weird. It's been happening this whole semester, but really this whole year. It's like I always feel like I'm not doing something, like I'm missing something, like something's not supposed to be done that I'm not doing. And I just think that's because, you know, things got out of hand with work and the amount of it and the volume of it. I could really use, as so many people could, like a step away from that sensibility and just not think about that and do something else altogether. But anyway, man, why not? I could do it. I'm my own worst enemy in that regard. But that's Jim Groom with some stuff on the Warriors, some stuff on the Thing, and some stuff on life. Take off. See you later. Ciao.